Gotta sing, gotta dance. Hello, everybody. It's Razzle Dazzle Radio on Zoom. And today's edition, we have some superstars, a triple threat, Tina DeSimone, and a guy that Toby goes to and we all love, Mark Minnick. So let's get started. I'm going to turn it over to Judy, who goes with some good questions for them. So take it away.
Tina DeSimone. Now, who doesn't even love that name? You were born to be a star, girl. That name just, it sounds star quality to me for sure. And I absolutely adore you and have watched you in the past, in the present, and know even far into the future, because you really are a triple threat. So tell us a little bit about your colorful past and how you got in the business.
So I am from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I started dancing when I was 3 years old at this dance studio called DeFino Sisters, and they were involved in all the high school shows in the area. So I naturally did all the shows with them as well. And then after I graduated high school, I went to the Riverfront Dinner Theater, where I met Mark Minnick, and our first show together was 42nd Street. So, and that was with K&L Productions, John Kinneman, that owned Burnbrae Dinner Theater. Then Mark and I actually toured together with Anything Goes for Troika. So we've been performing together since we were about 18. And then I ended up in Maryland. And then I landed in Maryland, stayed in Maryland, been at Burnbrae, at Toby's, West End. I choreographed a plethora of shows for Mo Dutterer at Centennial High School, Silhouette Stages, and some for Toby's and Burnbrae. So here I am at the age of 53 in Annapolis, Maryland, still loving to do what I love to do.
Still going strong. So Mo, I'll let you hop in there because I know that you and Tina have had some fun together. So go ahead, hop in.
I won't go into the fun, but we'll go into the shows that we did.
Darn.
We have had a lot of fun together. Back in, 98. Yeah. I went down to the Burnbrae Dinner Theater to see Tina in a show. And I think it was 42nd Street, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. And we were talking and I heard that she was really fantastic choreographer and a good leader and a role model and all those wonderful accolades. And I asked her if she would choreograph or think about choreographing 42nd Street for Centennial High School. And the first question she asked is, she said, how long before the performance will I have the orchestra? And I said, well, we open on a Thursday and you'll have them the Sunday before that. And she said, it's impossible. I can't do it. I said, why? She said, because they won't be able to play the tempos that I need them to play for the tap dancers. And she was absolutely right. So what ended up happening is that she talked John Kinneman into renting us actually the tracks that they were using there at Burnbrae. And that started our time together. And it was just a phenomenal production. And as a matter of fact, Melissa Hodges and Jeremy Goldman, who were the male and female leads of that show, just put, Josh Levine, put a clip of that on YouTube about 2 weeks ago and showed one of the dance sequences that Tina choreographed. And then after that was so much a success, we did Anything Goes together and Tina's favorite musical, My Fair Lady. She said, I hate My Fair Lady. But we ended up getting through that and we did Crazy For You and just a whole bunch of musicals. They weren't all tap musicals, but we did a lot of work together. And then we snagged her over to Silhouette Stages and she did a lot of work for us at Silhouette Stages also and is still doing work for us there if we could ever get back to doing shows again. So those are the Tina stories that I can tell publicly.
On the air.
There are a lot of others that Mark and I could relate privately.
So presently, Tina, I know that you're doing Godspell.
Yes.
And you got a rave review from Carolyn for sure. And
well, Mark says it's my best role to date.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, he would know.
Because I'm playing myself.
You were
terrific. Yeah, she was born to play this role.
just, she brought such joy to the show. So, she really did. She just exuded it. It was wonderful.
Mark. Tina. Thank you.
Mark, talk about Godspell also.
Well, Godspell is at Toby's Dinner Theater right now, right there in Columbia, Maryland. And it is running until Halloween, October 31st, with music and lyrics by Stephen Schwartz, who did Wicked. So the music is fantastic. The show is 10 actors, all Toby's all-stars. Like you said, each one of them is fantastic and joyous in their own right. The show is hysterical. It is heartfelt. It is composed of musical parables from the gospel according to Matthew, but it really is about a sense of fun, a sense of community, learning and building together. So while there are lessons to be learned, it still is a musical filled with song and dance, heart, humor, emotion. And we learn things like, always treat others as you would have them treat you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? So it's really a great time. And I really think anybody who has seen Godspell before, who has said, oh, I've seen it. No. Toss that out the window and come see this. It's modern. It's updated. We're not in clown makeup and Superman shirt. It's today. Yet there's nostalgia, current events. It's really great. So I think anybody who has seen it, you haven't seen this one and you should come out and see it. And we do pay tribute to Jim Rouse, the founder of Columbia, in our show. Not obviously, those who know, but Carolyn, what did Jim Rouse always wear? What was he known for wearing?
Oh, he always had that bow tie on and his jacket and
plaid jacket, right?
Yeah.
So
that kind of derby hat. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So our main character arrives and it's in today's setting. So he starts in a sweat jacket that is a plaid sweat jacket. And the show takes place in a park in Columbia. So right. It really is relevant, pays tribute. It's just beautiful. Just beautiful. Judy, you got to get out to see it.
Okay, yeah. Great. So I want to know who plays Jesus.
Justin Calhoun. He's wonderful. You've seen him in many, many shows over the years at Toby's. He started in 1776. Was Rapunzel's prince in Into the Woods. He was the stalker in The Bodyguard, Prince Eric in Little Mermaid. He's really wonderful. He's very powerful and very engaging. He really draws you into the story. He's wonderful.
Okay, well, now tell some stories about Tina, some real gossipy stuff. Come on.
Oh, you want to get back to Tina. Okay, so Judy, get back to Tina.
I want to talk to you to talk about her.
You want me to talk about Tina?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, we were
talking about Jesus, but we could go back to Tina. But I always did like to say, anybody that got cast as Jesus, where you go after that? But anyway, go ahead. Tell us the scoops on Tina.
You know, Judy, that's true. And now we'll go from Jesus to the queen. She is the queen. We call her the queen of dinner theater because she was the queen of the old Burn Bray for a while. That's what Jeffrey calls her. Oh, hello, queen. So I met Tina. It was back in, I guess it was 1986 or 87. I can't remember exactly. And it was at, like she said, the Riverfront Dinner Theater in Philadelphia, right on the Delaware River. And John Kinnaman, who owned and produced at Burn Bray and West End down here, produced shows at numerous theaters up in Pennsylvania. And that's where we met doing a production of 42nd Street. And then we became very good friends. We actually lived in an apartment above the theater. And sometimes we'd look out and watch the big rat run across the sidewalk out by the Delaware River and say, well, here we are. We have arrived. So we stayed there and did a few more shows. And then we found out, wait a minute, there's so many more theaters down in Maryland, because this was the heyday when there were like 15 theaters down here operating, for especially for non-union performers. And so we said, we want to go down there. And we were told, don't go down there. You won't work. You won't work. You need to stay here. I think they just wanted us to stay there because we were valuable to that theater. And we said, we need some opportunity. We're going to go. And so we took the chance of not working. And guess what? We've worked nonstop ever since. And we've done really great things. We toured together. Like Tina said, the Harlequin Dinner Theater had a touring company. We toured with them. I went to Atlantic City. We worked at Burn Bray, West End, all wonderful, wonderful theaters. And we had great experiences. But for one reason or another, they have gone away. I know West End went away because where it was housed, that shopping center was demolished and rebuilt. The Burn Bray was sold. So there's a lot of reasons the theater's closed, but Toby's is still open. And she really has top quality performances and top quality personnel and a lot of heart and family in the place. So I think that's why she is still around and brings us right back around to Godspell, you know, about the heart and the family. What else can I say about Tina? I mean, we've lived together for years. We vacationed together. We're members of the Disney Vacation Club. So a group of us with Jeffrey Shanklin, David James, and a lot of other people, we vacation to Disney a few times a year. We enjoy times down at Rehoboth Beach. We've just all been very good friends for a very long time. I've worked with Tina as an actress, as a choreographer. We both did Christmas Story at Toby's before the pandemic, and we were lucky to get a Helen Hayes nomination together for our choreography, and that was great. And
yes, we even interviewed your star on this show at one point too. So
yes, you did. Yes, you did. It was great. So
John Ponce?
So,
yes.
John Ponce?
Yes.
He was wonderful. Yes.
Yep. And you know what, Mark, let me just say that everything that you're saying is the reason for the success at Toby's, because first of all, you're family. You really are. And second of all, do not underestimate your power, Mark, because you are an indomitable force and you were ready to bring theater back the second day of the pandemic, because you and I talked about that. And you worked really hard, and Toby's was one of the first to come back and to really do it. And you never stop. You really don't. So you are a huge force in that. And I love that you're so tenacious and, you know, being creative to keep on bringing it.
Thanks, Judy. I appreciate it. You know what? Nobody knew what was going on at that point. So of course we were saying, okay, we're going to be back next week, next week, next week. And Toby and I would talk, and every day was Groundhog Day. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Uh-huh. And it was just like everybody, it was chaos. And then, you know, when we were able, when state, county government said we can reopen, we did. We put a lot of planning into it, a lot of thought, and we got some backlash, but we didn't do it willy-nilly. We really did a lot of work. Toby and Hal put a lot of time, money, and heart into making sure that we could come back safely, and we are still doing it. Yes, we came back with a holiday show in November and December. We reopened again in March, and we've done Shrek, Elf, and now Godspell. We have had no issues, knock wood. People have followed what we've asked. And now with the start of Godspell, just like every other entertainment venue is doing, we are requiring people to show proof of vaccination or a 72-hour negative COVID test within arriving to come to the theater. And that was a tough decision because we knew we were going to lose business because of that. And we have. But we still think it's the right thing for the community, for the country, for humanity. We stand behind it. We do not want to exclude anybody from our theater. That is not our goal. Our goal is not to say you cannot come. Our goal is to say this is what everyone is doing. We're behind it. We believe in that. And we hope that everyone gets on board so that we can have a safe return to life, not just theater.
Absolutely.
If I could even chime in and ask Mark and Tina a couple of questions. I know some people that are hesitant to go to Toby's because of COVID. Have you limited the size of the audience from 300 down at all? I've noticed some of the publicity photos that I've seen for Godspell. There seem to be fewer tables and fewer, you know, shoved together. What protocols are you all taking besides the COVID test?
Well, we don't share tables anymore. So if you're a party of two, you do not share with other people. Our reservations have not been at full capacity. We were at full for the closing of Elf, which was approximately 210 people. Wow. So we usually seat 300. So we went down to about 210. And with Godspell, we're averaging between 100 and 150. So we are spacing everyone out. There is no salad bar to gather at. The buffet is back. You wear gloves and the hosts invite you to the buffet to keep distance and a control of it, so people aren't on top of each other. So there is distancing, there is space. Are you still in a room with other people? Yes, you are, but it's not 300 people. And I feel like, Tina, don't you feel we're doing everything we can to be as safe as possible without just closing our doors?
Absolutely. The waiters have to wear masks when they wait tables. Anything at intermission, a server has to have a mask on. Everything is very precaution, safety element, 120,000%. I feel 100% safe in there, as does any customer that comes in. And they check your vaccination card. So before you're allowed in the door, there is somebody out front that is asking for your vaccination card or your negative COVID test. And here to tell you, if you don't have it, you are not allowed permitted in the building. There have been no exceptions to the rule. None.
Wow. I'm glad I asked that question, because I think a lot of people think it's business as usual down there, where in fact it really, really is not. And you are taking a lot of safeguards. So I really hope a lot of people hear this razzle dazzle piece so that they know that.
We'll get it out there.
We have a lot of great Toby supporters who are ready to come back and who are not ready to come back yet. So I hope they do hear this. And when they're ready, we will be here for them, you know? And
absolutely.
Like Mark said, we're not trying to turn anyone away. I feel bad for people that have a grievance against getting a negative COVID test. It's for everybody's safety. It's for the environment. It's so that this establishment can stay open, so that, that it can run, so that people can get someone back to a little bit of normality and enjoy theater. I had friends from Charlottesville that came up and she said to me, this is the first normal thing that I have done. And I felt, it felt so good to be back, and it felt so safe, and it just was joyous. And I felt like I was doing something and enjoying something that I loved to always go and do and enjoy. So that's really what it's all about.
Right. And now,
the tables are spaced very well, very well. You can only be with other parties that you make a reservation with. You cannot be with any strangers or anything like that. If a table is against the railing, the table below you is 6 feet away to the back railing. So you're not even on top of each other.
Great. That's super.
You know, Mo, and truth be told, like Tina said, if people are ready to come out, we really hope they'll continue supporting us or come give us a try, because us doing all this and making these choices has been a hit to the business. It really has. And people have let us know their feelings about it positively and negatively. But the positive people may not all be ready to come out yet. But if they are, gosh, I hope they come and support us. Because the ones who are against what we're doing, it has been a hit for us. So we could use the support from all the theater fans and the Toby's fans and anybody who's just looking for something to do.
I saw some YouTubes yesterday from Broadway World. You know, New York opened up, Broadway opened up yesterday, and you have to be fully vaccinated. It's not even a negative COVID test. You are fully vaccinated to get in. It was sold out. What I saw, the opening of Wicked and another show, sold out, standing ovation as the show started. People are ready to come back and enjoy. And that's all that this is about.
Absolutely. Listen, at Merriweather, you have to be vaccinated or show a negative test as well. And the thing is that the words right now are human connection. That's what we're learning. And what is a bigger human connection than theater, and particularly live theater? And as long as Mark Minnick's around, we're going to have live theater in Columbia, because I know he'll do it out on the street. He'll do it in the parking lot. He's going to bring it to us. And I love that. And so I know I'm protected here. That's for sure.
And you know what, Judy? And I'm going to tell Tina, she's doing it. Just like the mall, you know, we are, the Columbia Mall is celebrating.
I was just going to ask you, so good segue. Okay,
they're celebrating their 50th birthday this month. It's actually September 18th, this Saturday. And the cast of Godspell will be there performing a few numbers and welcoming to the stage Calvin Ball to talk as well. So we've been participating every Saturday. Barbara from the mall asked us if we would be a part of it. And of course we will. The relationship Toby has with Barbara and the mall goes back years. And if Barbara asked us to be there, we're there. So absolutely, we participated every Saturday. The first week we did a dance workshop and I needed some choreographers. And I called Tina. I said, hey, Tina, guess what you're doing on September 4th? You're going to teach dance choreography at the mall. I didn't give her a chance. And she showed up. Judy showed up. Judy danced the hand jive with Tina. And we had a great time. This week we did Columbia's Got Talent, and we saw some great talent. People came out and sang on the stage. And like I said, this week it's the mall's actual birthday. Calvin Ball will speak and Godspell will perform. And guess who will be there? Tina!
Whoa! And Mark! And what time is all that, Mark, on Saturday?
Okay, this Saturday Godspell will perform at 1:45 and Calvin will speak at 2:00.
Okay. Wonderful. Yeah. And don't you have one more performance next week as well? Next Saturday as well?
Yes. I'm sorry. Yes. And on the final Saturday at 1:00, the Young Columbians will perform on the stage. And it's all in the Lord and Taylor alcove. They have a stage set up and it's safe. It's very safe. The mall has all their precautions. So it's a great time. Tina will not be performing at that one, but yet.
Okay.
Hey, Mark, talk about what's upcoming at Toby's. Rocky, I know that, and a subscription series. You might want to push that.
Oh, well, we have announced next year's season, and that will start in January with Monty Python's Spamalot. That show, Toby's, I think it was 9 or 11. I can't remember. Helen Hayes nominations when it was first on stage back in 2014. So that's coming back. It's hysterical. Then we are doing Rocky. And Toby thought that was just, it was meant to be. She walked out of her apartment building and Title Boxing is right there in the same building. Rocky was released. The two leads from Broadway performed at Toby's in their youth. She said, oh my gosh, it's meant to be. So we're doing Rocky the musical in spring. Summer will bring the SpongeBob musical, SpongeBob Patrick and Everybody Under the Sea. It's a great family title. And it's also good for adults too. The humor and the music is really great. Then Ghost the musical, and that is in the fall. And that's the Patrick Swayze, Whoopi Goldberg, Demi Moore movie. It's a musical on stage. That's another fantastic show. And then Toby's original will be the last holiday we're in this building. And Toby wanted to do her original piece she created called It's a Wonderful Life. And Tina has been a part of that numerous times. Tina, what does that mean to bring that back?
It's very fulfilling. I'm very excited about it. I think audiences will, it'll be very sentimental. You know, it'll be the last show in the round for her at that original theater. And it is her original production. And I believe they'll probably try to get a lot of the original cast that just did it the last time that we did it, I would think.
Yep, that's sort of the theme of her life too. So it's a beautiful,
I would personally like to say, if I could personally say, yes, Mark has been a friend of mine for over 30 some years, but the establishment is extremely lucky to have someone like him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Nice. We agree. We, like I said, he's a force, you know.
Well, I'm so glad I came on this call. My ego needed this today, didn't it, Tina?
Always come on.
Don't get used to it because it's not happening very often. Don't get used to it.
Okay, so Mark, it's not all about you. We're going to rock back to Tina for just a second.
Good.
And you know, you can always come on Razzle Dazzle to shamelessly promote. So Tina, you just had mentioned, and I always thought you were from Baltimore because you do have that kind of Baltimore hon kind of thing. And you know, I know a little bit about that. But once you said you were from Philly, then it made sense too, because Philly and Baltimore are very similar in a lot of ways. So, and I think that was always what I was just impressed because you have that big personality, you have that big hair.
Listen, when you grow up in a big city like that, you have to know, you have to be street smart, and you just have to, you have to know, you got to not let anybody walk all over you, you know?
Hey, Judy, three of us from Philly.
There you go.
Hey, you know, when Tina walks in a room, you know she's there. She brings a cake or a pizza pie or a snack, and hi, everyone. She welcomes everybody with joy, you know, like Philly, brotherly love. Hey, let me tell you a quick story about Tina, though. When we were working at, this is so funny. She won't think it's funny, but it's funny. We were working at the Riverfront Dinner Theater, and we were all down on South Street in Philly one night after a show. And I think it was Mischief Night. Mischief Night, for those who don't know, is the night before Halloween. It's when you go out and you create mischief. You toilet paper someone's house or put soap on their windows. And then the next day you go ask them for candy. It's very Jersey Philly, I guess. Well, we were walking down South Street and Tina's yelling at all the cars passing by in her Philly voice, yo, yo, yo. And then someone reached out their car window and pegged her in the head with an egg.
Oh
no.
I guess that it made me laugh so hard. We're like, here she is mouthing off at all the cars going by on Mischief Night and somebody pegged her with an egg.
She's tough enough to handle it. Don't worry.
Oh, she didn't care. She didn't care.
And Tina, are you still tapping?
I am. I am. Okay. I'm begging Mark to do a tap show. I want them to do a tap show.
Well, why don't you do a tap class locally too?
We could do that. As a matter of fact, Silhouette has been trying to do 42nd Street since the pandemic. Right before the pandemic, we were supposed to do 42nd Street. And we're trying to still keep it. I don't know what's going to happen, but everyone, in my opinion, you know, everyone loves a good tap show. That's why I didn't like My Fair Lady. There was no tap in it.
Definitely.
My Fair Lady is quite a wonderful show, actually, Tina.
I know.
Even without the tap. Well, so Silhouette is, do you know anything about that, Mo or Tina? Speak to what Silhouette is doing, because I know they've sort of been, they were going to do a show, then there was a setback, and they've had a couple setbacks just, you know, to try to make it work. in the theater?
Yeah, Silhouette Stages is not ready to put their toe in the water yet. They had planned to do Something Rotten in this coming fall, like soon. Mm-hmm. And then they replaced that because they weren't sure they were going to be able to get the audience for it. So they were doing a little shop. And that has since been canceled. So the first show that actually they're going to be doing is Calendar Girls. And that's hopefully going to happen in March, followed by Cinderella in June. So those are two offerings now. And there's nothing on the books yet for a cabaret night, of which we usually do three of them a year. So they're a little hesitant, but some of the other theaters in Frederick and over towards Annapolis are starting to pop up and do some things. And of course, then there's Broadway that also is ready to start.
And Kennedy Center. Carolyn,
didn't you just get back from Broadway seeing a show?
Yeah, and Tina did too. I saw Passover and it was a drama and it was an excellent production. Everybody had to be vaccinated. Bingo, that was it. But let me just put in a tip of the hat here, which is what I'm wearing, for the Kennedy Center's 50th anniversary. And they're opening also. The first show is going to be, Hadestown. So
And they have a vaccination policy also, don't they, Carolyn?
Yes.
See, let's put it out there for the people who think that these individual businesses are making these decisions themselves. Yes, they're making the decisions, but everyone is doing it. If you want to see a show and get back and experience live theater again, you're going to have to do one of the two things or you're not going to get in. And that's going to be universal. So we hope everybody gets on board.
Exactly. Yeah, we've got to bring it back, but it's happening and it's so wonderful. Because you can feel everywhere. I mean, it is coming back. Listen, nobody's holding New York back or Mark Minnick back for that matter. So, you know, thank you so much, Tina. Tina Marie DeSimo. Again, what a stage name your mother gave you.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you for having me. It was lovely being on this. Thank you so much. The audiences are loving Godspell when they come and they leave with a smile on their face and joy in their heart. We do end the show with The Beautiful City, and it is a tribute, you know, to Jim Rass. And there are, you saw the show, the Tobys, there are Toby logos and pictures from Tobys and things on the walls at the end of the show and everything. It's a lovely, lovely, lovely ending moment.
Oh, I can't wait. How long is it running until?
October 31st.
Okay, I'm going to get over there. Absolutely.
And if you've seen Tina perform, don't miss her in this. And if you haven't, this is your chance to come and see the Queen of Dinner Theater live on stage. Judy, do not wait.
I'm going to text you right after I get off this show. Absolutely. Right. Mark, you are so fun. Thank you so much for coming on. Tina, you are the queen, and we bless you, and thank you for coming on with us. Mo, always great to see you from sunny. Is it South Carolina or North Carolina?
North Carolina. They don't exist. Sad, but right now we took vacation from vacation. We're not in Murrells Inlet now. We were down in Edisto Beach, which is the island that people don't talk about very much. There's Kiowa up north and Hilton Head in the south. Edisto is directly in between those, and that's where we are for a week now.
Are you back up this way at all, Mo?
Yes, we come up every month. We have a condo there in downtown Columbia, and we're probably the 14th or 15th. Barb and I will be at Godspell.
Okay, good.
Excellent.
Awesome. I can't wait to see you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Carolyn and Judy and Mo. Until next time, Razzle Dazzle Radio. Go see Godspell.
Razzle Dazzle.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.